you watch the halftime show?
For the Super Bowl. I did. It was great.
I did some research, and it turns out the Super Bowl, there's two teams playing against each other.
Oh, that is how the game works.
Wow.
There's a concert in the middle of that.
Sure. Yeah, it's
which
great.
I watched the morning after on YouTube.
Nice.
Yep.
Didn't even watch
you watched the concert. Okay.
I did. I watched the concert.
Did you watch the whole game or just the
concert? I'm going to blow your mind here, Elise. This happens every year.
What?
I know.
How many teams are there?
I'm going to tell you right now, the concert, not always as good as it was this year.
Right. Yeah,
but it was solid this year.
This was real clutch this year. Yeah.
This was a great throwback to my high school days. Right. I loved it.
Well, the meme is that now the generation watching the Super Bowl is thinking like, oh, finally, it's not just old people artists.
Right.
Oh.
Spoiler alert.
Shoot.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast, where we're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
And condolences on the Bengals.
Thanks. Oh, that's right. It was a tough loss, but on the upside, we crushed it in the Super Bowl of Caring
challenge. That's true. So. we did have two boxes. You could put food in either the Rams box or the Bengals box, whichever team you're rooting for. Bengals box had more.
You could also purchase meals and contribute your meal purchase to either team, and the Bengals like wiped out the Rams. But part of that might have been because it said the Los Angeles 49ers in the giving slot, which was not something that I did. It was just a comical error. But
I'm laughing.
By the way,
these
Elise,
jokes, these must be funny.
That is a combination of two in NFL teams.
For all the Elises out there, it was the Los Angeles Rams.
I took my cue very well, I think.
You did. You laughed at the appropriate time. It was lovely.
Sports. So humorous.
Yeah. Did everybody watch the Super Bowl?
I did.
No.
I watched.
Elise already made that clear.
No. I watched the first half.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The second half was pretty good.
I'm sure it was. probably wonderful.
Did you just go to bed?
Nah, just, you know, didn't watch anymore.
Didn't watch.
Okay. I'm good. You know, I got it.
I've discovered this is the advantage of being in the central time zone, is that the Super Bowl ends at like a reasonable time. So I can watch the whole game and still go to bed by like 9:30. I mean, that was something. <That's small. laughs> Because as previously demonstrated, the concert is now for old people. Right. So yeah,
we're going to get our hit of Snoop Dogg.
That's right.
And then we're going to go to sleep.
Yep. Sounds about right.
Uh-huh. Then take an Advil for your back that you threw out dancing.
Yeah. Two Advil.
Yes. I've got some news for us.
Okay. If this is about the Bengals losing, I feel like that's just rubbing salt in the wound.
It's not. This is a safe place.
Okay.
Sports sympathy.
I get fandom.
Yeah.
We've talked about Wordle before.
We have.
Wordle, yes. Wordle.
I think it's Wordle. Wordle.
It's Wordle.
You think Wordle?
It is not Wordle. It is Wordle.
If it's Wordle, it would be W-O-R-D-E-L. It's W-O-R-D-L-E. No,
that's not true. Hurdle. Hurdle. H-U-R-D-L-E.
Okay.
Curdle. You want me to keep going?
Yes.
Nope, I can't. That's all I got. Wordle, hurdle, curdle. Myrtle's a different.
Myrtle? Yeah,
Myrtle. That's L-E. That's still L-E.
Well, that's Y-R-D-L-E.
There's still L-E at the end of it.
T-L-E.
All right. Well, regardless. It's the great GIF or GIF debate of our time. Wordle or Wordle.
Yeah. They were bought out by the New York Times.
Mm-hmm. We play, Pastor David and I.
We do.
I play every day. Do you play every day?
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm undefeated in my streak.
Ooh, impressive. Ooh. Yeah.
So. I'm undefeated because I have not played.
There you go.
Well, here's a reason.
You can't lose if you don't try.
Right. Here's a reason to play. Woman's life saved by Wordle.
I did hear about this. That's great. Yeah.
It's kind of got a sad beginning, but a happy ending.
Yeah, happy ending.
An Illinois woman was held hostage in her home.
Oh.
Yikes. She's 80 years old. Mm-hmm. Even more yikes.
Yep, not good.
But was rescued after her daughter noticed she had not sent her Wordle score, and so she alerted authorities.
Yep, because her mom sent the Wordle score every day.
How hardcore is mom about Wordle?
Every day, 8 a.m. Here's how I did.
Here's the other thing. When you play Wordle or Wordle, you don't just play it. You got to post it to somebody.
Right.
See, I will say I do not share my score.
Then you're not playing. You're not really playing.
I'm doing it just for me.
You got to post it out there. Send it into the universe. The world needs to be proud that you knew a five-letter word, okay? Like,
instead of all the four-letter ones that we know you know.
Oh, right. That's it. Yeah. Prove that I know more letters.
Yes. And so this woman's daughter noticed she did not send her thing, and so she texted mom, got no response, called the authorities.
There you go.
That's a big leap. She didn't like drive over to see if she's
She lives across the country.
Yeah, she's not.
Yes.
Driving across the country would be a bit of a leap itself.
Her daughter's in Seattle. Woman is in Chicago.
Okay.
Yes.
So ask the police to do a well check.
Chicago feels like a natural place to be held hostage.
Wow. Hating on Chicago. I see how it is.
Look, I've heard some stuff.
Yeah. So she was... trapped in her basement by an intruder. No harm befell this woman.
That's good.
That's good, yeah. And police.
But she probably lost that Wordle streak.
She probably did.
Oh, no.
She wasn't like rescued. She's like, where's my phone?
That's right. The emotional harm.
I gotta get in there before it turns midnight.
Yeah, exactly.
Why was she being held hostage?
I think it was a mental health episode. I mean, I don't think it was this woman specifically was kidnapped.
Right. Oh, the intruder was having a mental health episode.
Not her. Not yes.
Right.
Weird.
Yeah. It's not like when you have a mental health episode, somebody just shows up to kidnap you.
It was strange. I was very confused by the context, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Wordle saves lives. Yep. Now, let me ask you something. If there's anything in your routine that you did not do, would like a spouse, loved one, family member realize something's off?
Yeah, that's a fair question. If so my wife texts me every day before she leaves work. Mm-hmm. And so if she didn't do that, I would know something was wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
The no text before work.
Yeah, but my commute is like 20 seconds, so I don't typically do that.
Right.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
Because even if something happened to me, it's like, well, it's 20 seconds. You can see it from the front door. Is David there?
Also, yeah, okay. You had one job to make it 20 seconds up the street.
Yeah. Elise, anything in your daily routine?
Yeah. So it depends on what day of the week it is. If it's a Saturday morning, if I haven't texted my spouse Starbucks ? Groggily by like 7:30,
sure,
then I'm probably dead.
Yeah.
If
Michael has not checked the bank statement and seen Chick-fil-A was eaten for lunch. Yeah. Yes.
If it's a weekday, like a week morning, if I have not said fed the dogs yet ? By like 7:30 again, probably dead.
Okay.
So
okay, those are the telltale signs.
Right. Your 7:30 check-in.
Right. Yes. Got a routine. It works. What can I say?
Yeah, I think my wife is having that similar mindset of Starbucks ? Is the proof of life text.
You know, that's I'm pretty sure she doesn't send the ? Though. Kat feels like she just like goes out and gets it and says,
does it?
Starbucks, period.
You know what to do.
Yes. Yeah.
Strong, independent woman.
Yep.
You bet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm playing a new variation on Wordle. Because, you know, there's all like...
Are you doing the math one?
I'm not doing the math. Ugh. I'm even I'm not that big a nerd.
What was the Loodle? Is that the...
No, I'm not doing that.
Loodly.
Yeah.
This is Wordle.
So you find out it gives
it gives you an outline of a country and you get five guesses to guess the country. Wow. It is stupid hard.
It's like, even
why,
nerdier.
Yeah, like why am I doing this to myself? But yeah. And I am, yeah.
That's I think great. There's even like a Taylor Swift version.
Probably.
So.
I mean,
really?
You type in a five-letter word related to Taylor Swift.
What's
Swift.
It called?
Yeah, Swift.
Taylor.
Yeah.
I think it's called like Swiftly.
Taylor Swiftly. Taylor is six letters.
Oh, well, you know. Swift is five, right?
Swift is five.
There you go. There you go. So.
Romeo is five. Juliet is five.
Wow.
That's the only.
That's it. That's the only one that you can.
Story. Yeah.
There you go. Album.
There you go.
Man, well, this is riveting podcasting here. I was up naming five-letter words somewhat tangentially related to Taylor Swift.
What are we talking about for real today?
Oh, right. We're talking about good and evil.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There's a leap.
Switch gears.
Four-letter words. Not
Taylor, Taylor Swift to good and evil.
Right.
Well, maybe we could use our deduction here to define which side of this bracket does Taylor Swift land on, good or evil?
Okay. Let's see. Yeah. Is it a bracket?
Well, this is we're asking a question here. This is from our friends at Pew.
Pew, pew.
There you go. Yes. Or PU. Oh. Yeah, whatever you prefer.
Yeah,
you
know. Your choice. Dealer's choice on that one. It's like choose your own adventure podcasting.
Here we go. The headline from their research here is Christians, religiously unaffiliated.
Elise likes when Patrick does the punctuation.
I love the punctuation out loud.
Well, I mean, like... It's denoting there's a space between the Christians and religious.
Commas are important.
Yeah. There was a comedian who did a whole bit about how we should have sound effects for different punctuations so that as you're reading, you just like make a sound effect.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not going to be funny if I try to do it. I'm just telling you.
What are the sound effects? I'm just curious.
I don't know. It's all like just ridiculous noise. Like exclamation mark is a like that's the exclamation mark. And,
That's good. That's good.
Victor Borga is the comedian's name.
There you
can look it up.
There you go. Friend of the podcast.
I think he's dead. So.
Oh.
Well, you know,
we
can still be our friend.
Like him.
Yeah. Oh, we believe in an eternal soul. So, you know, it's fine.
Because if there's anything people are doing in eternity, it's listening to Beyond Sunday.
Right.
So. It's kind of all of eternity, I believe. Yeah. They've been sitting around in heaven waiting, for this to come out. Yeah. Christians, religiously unaffiliated, differ on whether most things in society can be divided into good and evil.
Evil.
Good, evil. Yes.
Not to read over your shoulder, but.
But I'm going to correct you.
Yeah. So, asking adults here Can society be clearly divided? This is their research asking, okay, can society, most things in society, be clearly divided into good and evil? And so a percentage that say can be clearly divided or too complicated to be divided into good and evil. Okay. So that's kind of the question that Pew Research asked.
Did it ask about specific things, or did it?
It did
say
not.
Society
just
in general.
Just laying it out for society.
Society
is this. What do you think? Can most things in society be clearly divided into good and evil, or is it too complicated?
So are we guessing like where the majority?
We're asking where your personal.
What we think. Okay. Yeah. So we're not trying to guess the research. We're trying to actually do what we think.
Well, I already told you the research. They're going to be divided. So I think you could.
I thought maybe we're guessing the percentages. That's okay. Fine. Okay.
I'll give you the percentages. All right. What do you got? Yes or no?
No.
No.
Oh, the no's have it.
Ta-da.
Yeah.
And a 2-3 victory. Right. No, 2-1 victory out of 3 votes.
Well, what's your vote?
Patrick abstained. Doesn't matter.
No.
Oh, a 3-0.
That's why the no's have it. Yeah.
The no's goes.
The no's would have had it because we had 2 already. We already had a majority. A 2/3 majority.
Your vote was irrelevant, apparently.
Fine.
Yeah. It's like the Electoral College. Your vote didn't actually matter.
So across the United States population, it's a pretty even split. About 50-50.
Okay.
Or 48%, 50%, 2%. Declined.
Don't care.
Amongst Christians, it is higher on good and evil. You want to guess how many?
Higher that people think that it higher can than, be divided.
Yes, yeah, higher than 50-50.
I'm going to say 65.
This is all Christians.
58.
54. So.
Oh, okay.
And the highest are friends, white evangelicals. So what do we think there?
75.
Nice. I think lower than that still. I think it's going to be more like 62.
64.
Wow, you're very good at this.
Thank you.
64.
It's a hidden talent.
But for the atheist, it is much higher on the too complicated. Do you want to guess that before we move on to our discussion?
68.
74.
78%. Elise is dominating our guessing today. 78% are on the, it's too far too complicated. So Christians, kind of across the board or a little bit towards good and evil. The only Christians that are closer to 50-50 would be white, non-evangelical, and Catholic. But white evangelical and black Protestant are both much more, see the world through a much more good and evil lens than that. So this is just kind of research that they did. They did not use this to kind of like jump off on into kind of any major debates or anything like that. They did get into like kind of the political makeup of what do we land on if you're Republican or a Democrat. Again, I think it's no surprise. Republicans are going to lean the way the white evangelicals lean. Sure. So much higher percentage say can be divided into good and evil. Democrats are going to lean closer to where the religiously unaffiliated would lean and see things through more complicated lens. So let's talk about this.
Okay.
I think this is even though the study is kind of a, you know, just here's numbers on a page.
Right.
I think this is an interesting one because we all said no. Let's get into maybe some of those whys. Why do we think no?
So why do we think that the world cannot be easily divided into
most
good and evil?
Things.
Most things in the world cannot be easily divided into good and evil. At least looks like she's sitting on an answer.
So I think that most things cannot be divided into good and evil. I would say that most intentions can be, though.
Okay.
Like I think that the thought and the motivations behind things can pretty, I don't know if easily is the right word, but I think it's easier to sort of separate those out if you know them or if you're aware of them than the actions themselves. And I think too frequently we make the action or the situation itself be the thing that is either good or evil and not the root cause of that.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear that. You know, evil definitely exists in the world. And I think that there are definitely things that we can point to and say, yes, that particular thing is evil or is not evil. But at the same time, much of that is carried out by things that themselves are benign.
Yeah.
Right. So a stick of dynamite can be used to, you know, create a sculpture in a mountain or, you know, open up a cave to access coal or whatever else you got to do down there. I don't actually know what dynamite does, but it can also be used as a weapon, right? And it can cause people to be injured and killed. Money can be used to buy food for people, and it can be used to keep people oppressed or in slavery, right? So these things themselves are not good or evil. And so I think that's what Elise is getting at, right? It's with the intention and how we use those pieces. So there definitely is evil in the world. But the world itself cannot be quite so easily divided into good or evil. And even if we want to say like, oh, well, murder is always evil. Well, okay. I hear that, but then we also have to take into consideration, well, what about murder in order to protect innocent lives, mm-hmm. or what about you know other things where that can be brought into the ethical dilemma of the matter. And so I just don't think it's as clean cut as saying, oh yeah, the world is good and the world is evil.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously we can say there are definitely some things in society that are clearly we can divide into good and evil. I think that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether we need to name every possible iteration of that right now.
Let's do it.
But I can say right now, like, hey, child Number pornography, one. That's evil. There's no situation where it's not. Like,
yep. Right.
Yep. That's always going to be evil.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Compassion and charity, it's good. You know, like,
yeah.
I think it's good. So, you know, there are things like that that are kind of easily to kind of put those things on there. But I think by saying kind of most things, and I fall in the most of society is a little complicated,
mm-hmm.
kind of removes the ability to add nuance and an understanding of not only, you know, the thing itself, but also the motivations behind it. All these things are factors,
yeah.
and those factors can change over time.
Right.
And also I can identify that I am heavily influenced by my society and sure. my cultural understanding of good and evil that
right.
takes place in America in 2022, and that people from different parts of the globe and different parts of time would see something that I think are totally fine
yeah.
as absolutely evil, and something that I think are totally evil as totally fine.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, like, I think so I can understand, like, I'm influenced by that, mm-hmm. and we are mm-hmm. all influenced mm-hmm. by that. We just have to acknowledge it.
Right.
So.
Yeah,
I read a really interesting book about this one time that took that argument in the lens of, like, Mayan human sacrifice, which is gross, and I don't want to get too much into that. But, you know, through that cultural lens, it's the sacrifice of a person, which we look at that as, you know, Westerners and what century is this, 21st? And
yes, say, that's the one.
Oh, mm-hmm. my gosh, you know, human sacrifice, that's a hard line. That's a no.
Sure.
But to them, it's not so different than, you know, sacrificial stuff that went on in ancient Israel, right? It's like mm-hmm. one person atoning and ensuring a future for everybody else. So
yeah.
that sort of cultural bias, I think.
Sure.
We like to think that it's a hard and fast thing in our society, but it's maybe not.
Yeah. And we still have human sacrifice in our world today. We just don't call it that, right? We call it
right.
a military that goes and we
right.
allow other people to fight on our behalf, or we call it medical studies where we allow other people to get sick and potentially suffer consequences so
right.
that we can all benefit from the research that's done, right?
Mm. Yeah.
We still have human sacrifice. We just call it something.
Yeah,
different.
Sure. Dress yeah. it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, in America, culturally, the idea of like a 14-year-old girl marrying a 26-year-old man is gross and icky and like obviously wrong in our culture. In biblical times, not that wrong.
Yeah.
In many parts of the world, not that wrong, you
yeah.
know? And so, like, who's to say that I'm 100% right in these cultural instances and they're 100% wrong, when I think that there is nuance attached to that
mm-hmm.
and
right.
kind of cultural things that come to play.
Yeah.
Even though I think, from based on my cultural understanding, it's weird and
mm-hmm.
gross.
Right.
Like, you know, not 100% right, but...
Yeah,
probably kind of what happened in a similar situation with Mary and Joseph.
Yeah.
So, like,
we can't just assume that our cultural understanding is the correct one.
For
sure.
Right. We can't assume that culture has been on this continual progress towards perfection and that we've now reached it.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. No, it's been ebbs and flows in this whole process, and we are at one place in that. Mm-hmm. And
right.
some things are better and some things are worse.
Yeah. yeah. Also, like, your cultural, like, I think we're talking about cultural biases at large, but you can actually narrow that down as well. You know,
mm-hmm.
my culture as a woman that grew up in the Southeast is different from somebody's culture that grew up, you know, a man that grew up in the Northwest, the Pacific
sure.
Northwest. You know, there's nuances and differences
mm-hmm.
of
mm-hmm.
opinion and worldview there as well. So it's
yeah.
just because you take something for granted as, you know, okay, this is what this is. So this applies to everybody who falls under the banner of living in North America. That's not necessarily true as well. And we have mm-hmm. to be just as open to, you know,
right.
differences of thought from smaller breakdowns mm-hmm. than that.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. So getting into this, I definitely want to look at, like, since this is just kind of study, we're looking at this study, I want to think of what would your kind of worldview, how would this shape your worldview? If you believe this, what kind of, like, natural consequences kind of come out of that?
If you believe, like, it can be divided easily into good and evil?
Yeah, we'll take a little bit of both.
Okay.
I mean, like, so... It's kind of hard since all three of us kind of fell on one.
I know.
This
we don't have a lot of diversity here on this one.
Yeah.
Or so, many things, actually. But
yeah. So we don't have a strong maybe opinions on, like, this is 100% what I think.
Mm-hmm.
But so we're kind of, like, in some ways speculating where this could lead,
mm-hmm.
good or bad.
Yeah.
I think there is room for both.
Sure.
If you're on the society can be easily you know, divided into good and evil. Kind of like I remember like taking Spanish growing up, and like everything was either like a man or a woman, basically.
Yeah.
Like that chair is either male or female. Like,
decide.
It's not that it's a man or a woman. It's that it's male or female in the language. Just to be, yeah.
Well, it has a masculine or feminine connotation to
right,
yes. everything.
Yeah.
And
so that doesn't necessarily.
But like for arbitrary reasons,
yeah.
You know, then
it's not like, oh, this is more like this chair looks more like a woman, so that's a female. Right. Like, no, that's not.
We could just go ahead and say right here that we understand gender.
Yes.
Like, yeah. We understand the concepts
behind this. May or may not understand Spanish, I think,
right,
is the problem.
Definitely not. Yeah. But if you're in that lens of everything or many things are divided clearly, good, mm-hmm. evil,
yeah.
Where is that going to end up leading you?
Right.
So.
I mean, I would say fundamentalism is sort of a natural extension of that. Mm-hmm. I think it's you also, you know, being critical of this worldview, you can also really get into self-righteousness, I think, really easily because then it becomes, you know, as long as it's a projected out, like as long as I don't do those things that those people are doing, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You bad. You know.
Yeah, I think legalism along with the fundamentalism becomes very clear because if it's a clear definition of what's right and what's wrong, what's good and evil, then it's just a matter of doing what's good.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And making sure that everybody else does what's good too.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that that's where for me it becomes more clearly gray. But when the enforcement of good and evil puts you in the place of having to participate in evil, right? Because how do you enforce that, and how do you make that a possibility? So, I think legalism is one of the many risks that this runs in that direction.
Yeah, well, I think you know one of the things that's very possible. You know, don't want to just label like legalism as kind of a problem of Christians on the right.
No,
I think
it'd
be
not.
Very
yeah.
easily a problem of Christians on the left.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just dress it very differently.
Sure,
right?
That they just have very and even that. My point of view needs to be enforced by law is just dressed very differently.
Right.
It's kind of like different points of view, but we all kind of sometimes can fall into the same trap of I want laws to enforce my point of view on other people who do not follow that. We just have different versions of what those laws could be.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I think that these are definitely real things. I saw a church in Tennessee. They recently had a big book burning where they burned all their witchcraft books.
Okay.
Oh, they had a bunch of witchcraft books?
Well,
that's
they had
an interesting story there.
They had Harry Potter and they had Dungeons and Dragons books. And
oh,
they
we're
had,
still doing that?
Yeah. Well,
still doing Dungeons and Dragons?
Burning Harry Potter. That was like the 90s.
Yeah. Well, I think that this comes from this.
Harry Potter wasn't even out in the
90s. It was.
I think the first one was.
Yeah.
It's the first
one. The first couple were out in the 90s. Okay. Okay,
you didn't
on.
Read
moving
Harry
on.
Potter as a youngster, did
I
you?
I did. I just didn't think it was in the 90s.
That was the 90s.
Your childhood.
Right.
90s. Dang.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that kind of leads you to a very clear, this is evil or good, this Harry Potter book. It's either evil or it's good. And if it's evil, it must be destroyed. And if it's good, it must be preserved. Or every book is either one of those two things.
Yeah.
Very easily defined, very easily to do, or easily to qualify or quantify evil or good, things like that. I think we're definitely seeing a lot of this in kind of schools kind of around the country having these kind of debates, like what is appropriate in our school libraries and kind of a lot of outside organizations coming in to say this is either a good book or an evil book. And that means it's appropriate for kids or not appropriate for kids.
Right.
You know, so I think that's a natural point of view that could lead you to. Any, you know, positives that you could see kind of coming from society or seeing things in society as good or evil?
I mean, since I don't share that viewpoint, it's tougher to really, you know, nail those down. But I think it would make things simpler, maybe.
Yeah.
Potentially.
I mean, there's an appeal to being able to say, like, this is right and this is wrong.
Right.
Yeah, there's a natural
appeal
to that.
There's a safety there.
Yeah. I think where it falls short, right, is that inevitably you'll come into conflict with itself. I mean, that's the reality of the situation. So I don't think it will work in every situation, but by and large, I think that, there's a clarity and a precision of saying, oh, I know exactly what I'm supposed to do in every situation because I've been given this right and wrong, this evil and not evil law.
Yeah, I think that it can be very important when the society is evil. Like, I mean, like, like in those situations, like they're having a strong point of view isn't necessarily bad. Like, like when, you know, the abolitionists of the North and South in society were saying slavery is evil. There wasn't really room for nuance there.
Right.
They're not like, well, in some situations, maybe this is okay. They're saying like, no, across the board,
right,
it's evil. And that's a point of view I share. So, I mean, like, so having like, in some situations, a very firm line isn't necessarily bad. And saying like there is no room for nuance on a handful of issues out there. I think where we get into the weeds is those handful of issues maybe go away, and then we're left with kind of like what's left, and then we kind of like, well, we gotta put it somewhere,
good
or evil. So
yeah, I think that there is a decisiveness that comes with, you know, saying everything is good or evil, because if I already know something's good or something's evil, then I don't have to sit there in the moment and think about, okay, well, let's weigh the pros and cons and think about the, you know, the arguments that are being made on both sides of this issue, and let me read some more articles and try to like let me take 6 months to make a decision. Like, no, I know it's good or it's evil, right? Like you mentioned with abolition, right? I know I need to take action. I need to make this happen now. So there, I think there is a decisiveness that can come with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's scary when you don't know, right?
Sure. Like,
there's a lot of uncertainty that comes with opening yourself up to the possibility that something could be either, or in some situations, both, you know?
Yeah. And then that, you know, on the downside, it kind of leads you into like, hey, I've decided Harry Potter is evil. There's somebody reading Harry Potter. They're evil. Like, I mean, like, like that's the kind of the natural consequence of that, of like, are they willing to engage in evil? What else are they willing to engage in? Kind of a thing.
Right.
Like,
probably witchcraft.
Probably. You know, well, they're reading Harry Potter, so definitely. They've already engaged.
Right. I thought we hung all those women.
Burned them at the stake.
Oh.
We probably hung a few, too.
I think we hung them, yeah. And no, the situation with the rocks as well.
Oh, right. The rocks, yeah. When we threw them in the river to see if they floated.
Way more than churches.
Yeah. You know, it's
very small rocks.
Monty Python. Yeah. Fun for everybody.
Yeah. Everybody's enjoying this.
Everybody loves when people quote Monty Python. It's so fun. You know, quoting Monty Python is more fun than actually watching Monty Python.
It really is. Yeah.
Like, yeah. So I think that can definitely lead you to kind of that thing. If there is no room for gray and everything is divided, then it's easy to kind of start looking at your neighbor through these lenses of good and evil. And we all can fall victim to tribalism, but this, I think, can really get you there of like, the other side believes blank, therefore they're evil. And that means everything we do is kind of righteous against them. I have a righteous calling to be against the other political, you know, my political adversaries, my social adversaries, my religious adversaries. And it's all okay. Anything is permissible because they're evil.
Right.
You know, so I'm allowed to kind of bend my own rules in at expense of like punishing the evil doers.
Right. Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, we're not going to be the evil ones, right? You're never going to say it's me. I fall on the evil side.
Am I the baddie in this situation?
No, we don't have that Reddit thread here. People probably know what I just referenced, right?
That's fine. You're good. Better to not explain it. Yeah.
Okay. Look it up later, listeners. But I mean, we're never going to say, you know, okay, I need to fix myself. It's always going to be like, they're evil, I'm good, you know?
Which makes it a whole lot easier to dehumanize people who are on the other side, right? So when you look at situations like the Holocaust or like the genocide in Rwanda or other things like that, like step one in eliminating your enemy is always dehumanizing them and and convincing people that they're not actually human. And if you can say, oh, well, they're evil, that's just one other way that you can convince people that they're not human. And then like Patrick, you were saying, anything's fair game, right? It's not murder if they're not human, right? You're destroying evil. You're destroying evil forces from the world. That's not murder. That's not... that's not against our moral code.
Yeah. Right. So let's get into now.
That's a dangerous slippery slope.
It is. It is obviously. For sure. Let's get into the other side, you know, because we see that there's a lot more nuance in this world, that most things in society cannot be divided into good and evil.
Except for the Dallas Cowboys.
And
what's your opinion on that?
To be determined.
Okay. Get your pitchforks.
Torch and pitchfork.
So what are the natural consequences of kind of like this worldview? Unsure.
I don't know why I was surprised by the question, but I was. Right.
Even though we already did that question on the other one.
I admit, I don't know why I was surprised by it, but I was. It's caught off guard. I think the natural consequences of this side of you, I mean, we will tend to steer away from things like fundamentalism in a lot of ways. It's going to be the opposite, right? You certainly pointed out how legalism will just take on a different face. But I think it will take on a different face and will potentially be a legalistic path in a different... on a different avenue, right? So it's not trying to legislate what's good and what's evil, because anything could be good and evil, but trying to legislate just agreement with me, you know, rather than trying to lay a hard line in the sand on good and evil. And for my sake, right, if I look at everything as being potentially good or potentially evil, I think there's freedom in that for me to use all of the tools that are before me as they are needed, right? So I get to learn how to use a hammer to be a hammer and a screwdriver to be a screwdriver, and I get to learn when not to use a screwdriver like a hammer, right? Yeah. So that you can use the tools appropriately.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It was a deep metaphor that did not.
It's just woo. Yeah. I'm sure it was great.
No, it's fine.
Any other thoughts on kind of like this worldview, what it's going to lead you to?
I mean, I guess we're like speaking personally on this, right?
Sure,
because it's what we all kind of landed on. I think for me, like you said, there's freedom there. I think there's also fear there too, to an extent, because things aren't as simple. Yeah, it's a realization that things are not as simple as like maybe you thought they were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Growing up, you know, and that can kind of break down a lot of preconceived notions about the way that things work. We talked about deconstruction of faith in a previous episode. I think that ties in. I think there's also, you know, a fear that, you know, maybe I'm playing fast and loose with the rules. Like, maybe I totally missed the point.
Which for me, I mean, and this is where I come back to so much of it, right? Grace is so critical for my faith for a moment like this, because I could be wrong, right?
Yeah.
If the world is not clearly good and evil, then I could be using something that I think is for good and I'm actually wrong. But thanks be to God, I fall back on grace, right? That even when I'm getting it wrong, I trust in God's goodness to watch over me and to protect me and, you know, take care of all the other stuff that I don't understand.
Yeah. I think for me, you know, using another analogy, not on tools, because I don't know anything, but on...
That's fine. I'll turn it into a tool analogy
no
for
sports,
you.
No sports, no tools.
But on fantasy literature, you know.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, like in Lord of the Rings, it's kind of like clearly defined sides, good and evil kind of a thing. Like there's very real evil. They're the bad guys. There's no version of them that's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no orc in Lord of the Rings that's good.
Oh, yeah, right. That's a good
like,
point.
Like, they're just all bad. You know, like, and so it's safe and easy. Hey, if you want to go behead some orcs,
do it,
no problem, they're right. The evil ones, you know, that's not, and your good guys are good, your bad guys are bad, and it's an epic fantasy, and that's, you know, translates to the world. The other most popular epic fantasy in recent years is Game of Thrones, where your good guys can sometimes be bad, your bad guys can sometimes be redeemed, and it kind of becomes a little more complex in how things operate, and also has a terrible ending, but whatever. But I think that kind of does lead us to this idea of like, if this in this more, the world is a little more gray than I thought it was growing up, kind of a thing, it can lead to, well, am I a little more gray than I thought I was? It can lead to maybe in some ways a greater, more inquisitive nature, more understanding nature. But I think it can also lead to more of like, maybe I'm, like Lisa said, maybe I'm a little more willing to kind of play in the gray than maybe I should. You know, like that this is okay. This isn't, you know, if this isn't cheating on my spouse because it's more gray, or this isn't cheating in school because it's more gray, you know, like if it's not clearly yes or no, it's a little more wiggle room to kind of test the boundaries. And sometimes maybe those boundaries shouldn't be tested.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, like for some things, there is no wiggle room, you know, and so like. And if I'm like, hey, there's wiggle room everywhere, but not there. And then the people who are willing to dabble there, it's like, well, why not here?
Right.
You know, like, I think that's a very real, that's something that can be a very real question mark.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that can lead us to maybe some overlooking of some things that are evil and maybe not quite understanding how to deal with that.
Yeah.
But also on the same time, lead us to a lot more greater understanding of kind of our neighbors and people who see the world differently.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a mixed bag. I think both things can lead you to good and bad things. I think it's how we approach them as kind of a society that matters.
Right.
Yeah.
So taking a novice's shot at tying this back into faith, it seems me, thank you, that Jesus's ministry really focused on the intentions behind the actions, right? Like it's very little to do with the physical table set up in the temple, right? It has everything to do with the exploitation of people who are coming to worship, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to me, that speaks a lot to what we're trying to get at here, is that it's not that we can divide things into good and evil so easily, but I think that the real sort of crux of it is why are you doing these things? You know, and it's harder to pick out in other people. I think it's harder to pick out in us as well, versus just saying, you know, this thing is bad and this thing is good. You know, if it's like, well, this thing is bad if I'm doing it to, you know, take advantage of something, but it can be good if I'm doing it to, you know, help somebody. You know, it's a lot more uncertainty there.
Yeah. I think with faith, you know, Jesus is often accused of being like a friend of sinners. So it's kind of like an interesting accusation that's come across him in the Gospels. And I think sometimes when we land on sometimes either side of this, we try to redefine or define sinner instead of like really looking at the word friend, you know, like, and I think that's a little more, both sides can really kind of look at like either one clearly defined sinner, not sinner, or hey, we're all sinners, so it doesn't really matter to say who's a sinner or not.
Right.
When I think we should be looking at like, how can I just be a friend to those, whomever they are? And I think that kind of gets us to some better places. Mm-hmm. All right, what else do we got on this topic about good and evil? I know, Pastor David, you had a question when we kind of broached this in your office about, hey, maybe we should talk about this.
Yeah, so we all are on the same side of this particular issue and saying that most things cannot be clearly defined, good, evil, right? Mm-hmm. Most things are in this gray space. But are there things that we can look to, like you mentioned slavery earlier, right? We can all say, yeah, slavery, bad. I can't think of a circumstance in which slavery is good. And so are there other things that we point to in our society now where even in the midst of our gray, we're willing to say, yeah, this is probably evil. This is probably the work of evil functioning in our world.
Yeah. Yeah, if you could say something that's the most controversial, that would be even better, you know, because like, I think we're all going to land on like, hey, child pornography, evil, human trafficking, evil, you know, like, but there's no, like, there's nobody out there. No, I assume none of our listeners like, well, you know, like, you know,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do we got?
I want to know what you have.
Yeah.
I'm asking the question to you.
Oh, okay.
So like, what do I think is across the board evil?
Yeah. What are things that we point to that we're like, yeah, I have this good versus evil dynamic, but there are also these things.
Hate, I think, would be across the board evil.
Okay. Mm. What about hating racists?
I mean, I don't know that you should ever like hate a person.
Okay. I'm
intentionally
poking the bear.
No, I would still say that I will stand by that. I think that it is still evil to hate a person.
Okay.
What about hating Hitler?
Look, I don't love Hitler. No, I mean, I think I hate the circumstances that allowed Hitler to do what he did.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus says love your enemies, right? Yeah. If we see Hitler as our enemy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really tough.
This is what, you know, every conversation is it comes back to Hitler after a certain number of like back and forth.
Sure. Let's just jump right on in.
You're right.
Yeah.
You start talking about Harry Potter and before you know it,
you're right. Hitler. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, people out there could say like, hey, it's kind of privileged to not have to really engage in that because I don't have family that was directly affected by it.
Right.
You know, like, so it's
I mean, so I do.
Yeah.
I do have family that was directly affected by World War II. My grandfather was shot down as a prisoner of war in Germany. So it's not, he wasn't a victim of the Holocaust, but he was, you know, a byproduct of that as well.
Yeah.
He says that he toured Germany as a guest of the Third Reich.
Sure. Yeah. Well,
it's very funny.
I was definitely referencing, like, I do not have anybody who killed in the Holocaust in my lineage. Mm-hmm. So it's easy for me to kind of, like, not have to really engage with how do I feel about something obvious so horrific. Mm-hmm. I don't have any family directly impacted by slavery or the civil rights movement. So it's easy to feel like I can kind of like wade in and say like, I think it's important to show compassion and love without having to really deal with the deepest of possible hurts and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I do agree that hate is wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think it's very reasonable.
Right. So. Yeah. So that doesn't mean we don't sometimes like toe that line or dabble in it, even though it is evil. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it still feels like the natural thing.
Yeah. So because we're talking about the Holocaust, we're reading this book for the Bible study that I'm leading on Wednesdays for our ladies' Bible study here at Lord of Life. And we're looking at the book called The Sunflower. If you're not familiar with it, The Sunflower is the story of a man who was in a Nazi concentration camp. Mm-hmm. He was a Jew and he was taken to a dying Nazi soldier who basically asked him for forgiveness for this atrocity that he had carried out over against hundreds of Jews who had died in this building that he had been a part of setting on fire, right? Mm-hmm. And so he asks this Jewish man for forgiveness for this as he's dying. And so the whole purpose of the book then is to look at that particular instance and say, well, should he have not offered forgiveness, right? For this man who, by all intents and purposes, was genuinely repentant, right? Should he be offering forgiveness for that? And for me, right, the question is not were his actions evil or not. The question there becomes like, how are we redeemed from evil, and how do we experience that redemption? And that's where a lot of the whole second half of the book is different theologians and philosophers weighing in on the weight of forgiveness and what that looks like. And I think that's where our faith meets the road, is right. It's easy for us to point at things and say, that's evil, that's evil, that's evil. What does it mean for us to enter into those spaces and offer redemption for those things? Sure. And how do we become vessels of mm-hmm. God's redemption mm-hmm. in the midst of that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's great. We're not listening to anything else that is evil.
other things that are evil. I don't know. All other podcasts.
That's definitely true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of them.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Even the ones I listen to. That's right.
Sure.
No, I don't. I mean, yeah, I am too caught up in nuance right now. It's just where I am right now. So, like, I see so many things from so many different perspectives. Like, I'd like to say, like, oh, drug use is really evil and is really bad. But, and there's also, like, very legitimate medical things that happen with it. And, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just, I'm just in that place right now. It's such a weird place.
Well, I think, you know, like, there are aspects of that that are evil. I think, like, you know, you could say drug dealing is evil. You know, like, you could say that.
But so much of that is, like, circumstantially driven, too. Like, it's driven by people being forced into feeling like they don't have another. I don't know.
And is it about the drug dealing, or is it about taking advantage of other people?
Right.
Sure. Yeah. Or especially taking advantage of an addict. You know, like, that is kind of, like, what you're doing. So that is evil, even mm-hmm. if you have, I think, even if you have no choice, I think it's still an evil act. Mm. I think we want to say some other things. I think anytime our news media, our politicians engage in willful lies about the opposition mm-hmm. to generate a hate response from their followers is an evil act.
Sure.
And it doesn't matter that it's effective, because it is.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if it gets you elected and then you can change things from the inside for how you how you want the world to go. Even if you're doing it righteously, it's evil. Right. I think that's a wrong thing. So intentionally lying about the opposition for a hate response that gets you elected is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're committing an action and you have to say the ends will justify the means.
Yeah,
that's probably a pretty good sign that you should be rethinking the
means.
Right? Like, that's probably pretty, like I don't know about evil, but it's and probably a pretty good sign that the
ends as well. Yeah, maybe.
I think that's part of what makes this so tricky, right? This conversation so tricky is you cannot really get away from that. Mm-hmm. You know, you cannot live. I don't think you can live a life start to finish in this world as it is without dragging your feet through some of that. You know, like, there's always going to be, like, even if this is the best decision for me or my family, this might cause something that really harms somebody else. You know, I don't think that there is any of that, like, moral absolute, I'm squeaky clean.
Yeah.
I mean, besides me, obviously.
Right. I'm not talking
present
about
company.
Right.
Yeah. You know, on the smaller scale, I think it's pretty evil to be, like, rude and disrespectful to low-level employees mm-hmm. about a decision the company as a whole has decided when they have no responsibility for those things.
Like I walk in and yell at the sales clerk that they had nothing to do with it.
Yell at the waitress, the sales clerk, the flight attendant. They have nothing to do with it. Like they can't change it. They can't do any of those things. You know, it's part of their job to enforce a rule. And so treating them with disrespect, again, evil is such a strong word, but I think that, like, that is an evil act, you know, mm-hmm. so. Yeah.
Okay. That wraps it up for me.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
We're all evil. Mm-hmm. One more thing. It is evil to not rate and review us. iTunes.
I want to tell you a story. Okay. But I'm upset I haven't gotten a review like this, but there is a Catholic podcaster, a female Catholic podcaster and comedian, who was reading a review that she got left on iTunes about a dude that had a dream about her trying to fly a plane. It was just really detailed about, like, her trying to, like, come in for a landing, and this was the review on her podcast that has nothing to do with flying planes. So listeners.
So this guy was listening to her podcast mm-hmm. and he had a dream about her trying to fly a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And he
wrote that as a review.
What did
five stars, by the way.
Okay, good. At least, at least dream her got five stars.
Right.
You know, I hope if you're, you know, whatever, if you know, Beyonce pops up in your dreams, it's probably a five-star experience. So,
that's probably true.
Yeah. So if you have that dream, please write it in review form.
Yeah,
absolutely. I want to read it.
Well, and even if you didn't have that dream, you can be sure to like, rate, and review us at all of your favorite podcasting locations. You can share this episode or all of our episodes from BeyondSundayPodcast.com and send us a note to let us know what you think about good or evil, or what you think about Elisa's dream habits and flying planes.
My dream habits?
Yeah, your dream habits.
It's not about my dream habits.
Oh, sorry, about
It's about their dream
Elise
habits.
Flying planes in your dreams. Right, yeah. That's it. At beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.